Crystal Craven, and I am a singer, a songwriter, and a worship leader, and I am passionate about sharing what God inspires. And this right here is your weekly devotional. Okie doke, let's jump right in here to Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. And it says, "At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, 'Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you.' And he said to them, 'Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Now, not all Pharisees hated Jesus. Obviously, there were some, such as Nicodemus, and even some within the Sanhedrin, people like Joseph of Arimathea, who later helped bury Jesus. But here, we see that there were some Pharisees who were upright, and they came to warn Jesus, and they were seeking to protect him. But Jesus' answer here is really rather interesting. Jesus referred to Herod as a fox. Now, this might seem like a major slight, you know, in which we might wonder, how can Jesus do that while not sinning? Well, William Barclay, who was a 20th century theologian, explained this really well when he said, "To the Jews, the fox was a symbol of three things. First, it was regarded as the slyest of animals. Second, it was regarded as the most destructive of animals. And third, it was the symbol of a worthless and insignificant man." So yes, this address of calling Herod a fox, it is brutal. But it is honest, and it's making the people aware that Herod was sly and destructive and insignificant. However, to call someone insignificant, again, it seems to really not be like a God thing, right? But what Jesus was stating is that even in all of Herod's power and Herod's desire to kill Jesus, Herod was completely insignificant when it came to Jesus fulfilling his ministry and the mission of the cross, which was going to happen according to the Father's timing. And this actually becomes even clearer with the rest of what Jesus said. He said that he casts out demons, cures people, and that in the third day he will finish his course. Jesus came to do the work of the Father, and not only was he already doing it, but nothing that Herod could have done could have thwarted that. Therefore, Herod was insignificant. Now, Jesus gets a little bit ironic here, right, when he says, "For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." And then we see that the very next sentence he says is that Jerusalem is the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. So, here, Jesus is using irony to emphasize his point. Now, the point isn't that Jerusalem is just awful because it kills their prophets, though. The point is in Jesus's very next sentence. "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." When Jesus is saying this, he's heartbroken at their unwillingness to let God be the good father that he is over them. And that protection and that comfort that he would have provided them the way that a hen gathers her brood under her wings. It's a very beautiful picture. And the prophets that were sent to them, they spoke the very words of God. And instead of heeding their words, they stoned them. That was a direct reflection of their heart, not towards the prophets themselves, but it was a reflection of their hearts towards God. Now, the way that Jesus states, "How often would I have gathered your children?" That's indicative that God desired to protect and comfort his people, even though the people weren't responsive to allow it. Now, this picture of a hen gathering her brood, Adam Clark, who was an 18th century pastor and Bible scholar, he gave really great insight to this when he said, "When the hen sees a beast of prey coming, she makes a noise to assemble her chickens, that she may cover them with her wings from danger. The Roman eagle is about to fall on the Jewish state. Nothing can prevent this but their conversion to God through Christ. And Jesus cries throughout the land, publishing the gospel of reconciliation. They would not assemble, and the Roman eagle came and destroyed them." Now, the last thing that Jesus said in this section is, "Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Now, this is actually twofold, because Jesus indeed came back to Jerusalem after this, and we read about that in the triumphal entry in Luke 19. Verses 37 and 38 of Luke 19 say, "As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" But that would be seeing him with their physical eyes, right? Only. With any spiritual eyes of understanding who he is, they would not actually see him until the prophecy of the end times would come to fulfillment, where they would look upon him whom they pierced and acknowledge him as Messiah, which they didn't do when he first came. And this is prophesied in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. And it says, "I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. On that day, the mourning in Jerusalem will be great." And then in Revelation 1:7, we read about this fulfillment, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him." Now, it's also really important to realize that Jesus had prefaced that with, "Your house is forsaken." But we really need to fully understand what he's saying here, because there are false theologies that go around that Israel has been replaced because Jesus said things like, "Your house is forsaken," to them. But that is not what he is saying here. The word for forsake actually means to let go, to let be, or to give up a thing. Jesus is saying that he tried to call them to himself, and they weren't willing to gather. So he's letting them be, and therefore their house is empty without him. Jesus is not abandoning Israel. God is not abandoning them. He is simply leaving them to what they want in that moment, but the time will come when they will look upon him whom they pierced and weep over not acknowledging him sooner. Now, to kind of wrap this up, with all of this being directed at Israel, right, the nation of Israel, and has applicable value to them, then what can we as followers of Jesus take away from this? Well, we can actually glean several things. I'm going to list four here. One, no matter how powerful, nothing can thwart the sovereignty of God. Number two, our sins are great, and yet God is willing to reconcile us to himself and cover us with his wing. Three, we need to have ears to hear when God calls us and be willing to respond to him. And number four, although we may be struck down at times, God never actually leaves or forsakes us. He always has good plans for us. Now, I really hope that you are encouraged today by God's immense love for you. And at the same time, I really hope that you're challenged to tune into the voice of God more deeply and respond in obedience and worship to a great and mighty God who will never leave or forsake you. For blogs, written devotionals, and originally written songs, visit crystalcravenmusic.com. And that is Crystal with a K and Craven with a C.